always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this from like an extremely macro perspective. And it annoys me because like the Lakers at any point, like while Dr. Buss was in charge, you know, could have basically operated in their own self-interest and just absolutely crushed teams with the extra assets or resources that they had at the time, you know. And instead, Dr. Buss, at least according to a lot of the stories that you read after the fact, and who knows how much of this is deifying or ideological, you know, turning this guy into an ideologue rather than whatever he was at the time. But he did always kind of preach about like, you know, the health of the league has to matter here too. And I think this can be said about players too, because we're heading into another All-Star game where Adam Silver has put together another set of stupid rules to hopefully get these players, these, you know, we're nearing the point, Harrison, where like career earnings are going to jump up above $1 billion. So they're trying to find all these ways to get these guys to care and to try hard in this game. And like, you know, what they should really be trying hard about or why they should care is because like the health of the league should matter to them. And if the health of the league just suddenly dissipates because nobody wants to tune into the regular season, nobody wants to tune into the All-Star game, nobody wants to tune into the slam dunk contest. Like if all of those things go away because of tanking, because of apathy towards the 82 game season, because of the apathy towards this extracurricular thing at the midway point to the season, then the league ceases to exist in the same way that it exists and pays these guys the astronomical amounts of money that they are making. And I guess it kind of drives me nuts when I always hear people say, oh, well, what if they tried this? And what if they tried? Nick Wright proposed a race war as like to get guys to care about
Did you see the viral tweet that put Chet Holmgren on a team that you would not normally associate him with?
Well, I'm sitting there thinking,
that
like,
made me laugh very hard.
If it's black guys and white guys, and if Yao Ming was in the league, where would he play? Yao's the ref.
We're getting like the Chappelle Show race draft, like for the guys that don't cleanly fit into the
buckets.
All
right, guys, this year for the All-Star game, we're actually putting it together a model UN, and we're going to see how this thing goes. but like, I always hear these like crazy outlandish ideas, and I'm guilty of it too. Like, I like putting together ways to fix the All-Star game, but I also sometimes think that kind of lets the subjects and the actual, like the perpetrators of the problem, it lets them slide, you know. And this actually probably we're going kind of out of order here, but like it's kind of like what I hear with Rob Pelinka, where it's like, oh well, it makes total sense to sign Kobe Bufkin at a time when nobody was interested in Kobe Bufkin and the buyout market hadn't taken full shape because he's punting on the season. And at no point do I hear the people making that argument stop and ask themselves, wait, should we be punting on the season? You know, like, and meanwhile, Rob is just like, what's it, mogging? He's mogging everybody during every press conference that he, you know, tailors specifically to the people who will ask the right questions.
Like, I think Rob has resting mog face.
Resting mog face. But you kind of like, we can move on and we could talk about the Lakers here, and maybe we just do, but that's the part of this that kind of drives me nuts, is that like we as a society have basically just made the decision that, you know what, whatever I do for myself, that's all that matters. And whatever I do for like to continue to exist in the world that I want it to be, Like, that's all that matters. And it's allowed grifters to become more of a thing than it ever was. And it's allowed the Jazz to do, like, to take tanking out to the nth degree, to a point where they are literally throwing games, you know, or trying to throw games. Shouts to the to the Pacers that, like, you know, or whatever team that, that the Jazz beat or whatever, you know, for somehow throwing it harder, you know. I guess it was the Heat, but it's like, yeah,
did you see what Bam said after that game? He's like, you know, we got to get better at beating the teams that are trying to lose.
Yeah, like it's just, I don't know. We can go out of order. I want to talk about the Pelinka thing, because I have you noticed this, Harrison, that, like, everybody has kind of moved on to, well, this is just the reality. This season was just never going to work out. Gosh darn it, you know. And like, I remember, I think back to the things that I said at coming off of last offseason, where it was like the Lakers had a fine, if not good, offseason, given the parameters that they were kind of placing around themselves, right? And like, they executed their offseason about as well as they could, given that they didn't want to use draft capital on stuff and they didn't want to take on longer term money. And it's like, that's fine if you're just looking at the offseason within that context, but none of the Lakers competition is looking at the offseason in that way. And in some cases, the gap that the Lakers were hoping to make up got wider. And now you arrive at a trade deadline, which is like, oh, gosh darn it, didn't, you know, championship or bust, another bust here. And everybody has just kind of moved on Rob's role. And Luka Doncic has been a Laker. He'll be heading into a second straight postseason as a Laker with a roster that nobody actually believes in. And everybody is just kind of like fine with it. I don't know. Is this the kind of thing that only I get driven mad about, or is this something that people should care about more?
So I will, you know, offline over the years, you and I have had a conversation a bunch of times, and maybe online, about my Yelp review theory, that most replies are people that are like, if they're writing a lot, it's because they disagree. Like, nobody goes to the Yelp reviews of the restaurant and they're like, you know, I had a great time, and let me give you 6 bullet points on, like, why this server was great and whatever. It's like, no, like, they openly spit in my food, and that somebody kicked my chair out from under me when I was trying to sit down, and, you know, and like, you know, all this stuff. So the people that are saying, that are arguing, you know, the toxic positivity people that are arguing with you and saying, like, no, this is fine, actually, like, a lot of that is because you are reacting negatively. If you were like, hey, hell yeah, Kobe Bufkin, you'd have a bunch of people in your mentions saying, like, no, this guy sucks, like, the Lakers are punting on the season and this is horrible.
Yeah.
So, like, you sort of,
okay, so basically, like, no matter what opinion I give, I'm always going to notice the detractors, and there's always going to be detractors. Okay,
exactly. And so some of this is that, because I have seen also, like, a fair amount of people that are upset about like this, or at the very least, like, not thrilled with them, you know, punting on it. And like, okay, I kind of understand it. Like, you know, longtime listeners of this feed will remember our guy, Alex Regla, who wrote at Silver Screen and Roll today, the Lakers all in bet on the summer better pay off. After years of kicking the can down the road, the Lakers must get busy living this summer or else. Which is possibly the most ominous deck SSR has ever run.
Alex is sitting outside the regulators.
Alex is parked outside Rob Pelinka's house right now.
You know what, Alex? Wait right there. I'll be there in 14 hours.
Yeah, and so I think that this is where I was at last week when you and I did our post-trade deadline show of, like, I don't really care that much about this deadline, because, as Exiler's pointing out in the comments right now, as, you know, I'm sure you're aware, there weren't that many needle-moving moves available at this deadline that I'm like, oh man, I'm really mad the Lakers didn't go and get so-and-so guy or whatever. But where I'm at is, when you keep kicking the can down the road and you keep saying, okay, well, next transaction window is, like, our real free agency. And the free agency, that's going to be, like, our real trade deadline, because we'll have more picks and whatever. And you've done this enough times that the plan needs to work this summer. either you sign Giannis or, if you're going to say, hey, we're punting our last season of employing both LeBron and Luka, then your plan had better be better this summer. Because if this summer you get there and you're like, hey, we just had to wait for LeBron's contract to expire, which is like a crazy sentence in and of itself. But now we have all this flexibility to sign players. If you use that flexibility to go trade for Giannis, then okay, you were probably right about hanging on to that flexibility. And that was ultimately a good move. If you use it to go sign your version of Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng, then it's okay, you should probably be fired because that was a terrible plan. And so, we need this summer, I think, is ultimately the judgment point for Rob. And I know that fans are frustrated with hearing about that, but ultimately this was the plan. Last year, I think, is totally defensible what they did at the trade deadline. If you have the chance to make the trade for Luka, you obviously do that 10 out of 10 times. But the problem with that is it completely mismatches your roster to the point that it was you weren't going to be able to fix that in one transaction window to go from all defense player Anthony Davis to all offense player Luka Doncic and be able to sort of balance the team out around those two very different styles in that swap. And so I think that's totally understandable. And then from there, the Lakers have basically said, we are targeting 2026 as our summer when we can make moves. When LeBron's contract comes off the books, we have Austin at a lower cap hold before we need to re-sign him. And this is when we're going to make our move. And it's okay, then you better make your move. Because if you're telling me this summer that, Rui had a good playoffs. And so re-signing him and re-signing Austin, that's kind of signing a superstar free agent. Those guys are still developing. I don't want to hear that.
It's funny. Pete and Jovan and I have our group text to arrange Great Western Forum. And then over the course of the deadline, we were kind of talking about the things that we're hearing that the Lakers are maybe thinking about doing and what we would like to see the Lakers do, names that we would like to see them target and stuff. And Giannis has obviously been a big part of that conversation. I'm not going to give away anything that Jovan and Pete said privately, but I will say what I've said privately, which is all right, what's to stop Rob? Go out and get Giannis, okay? You're not going to have anything left over to improve the team with afterward. So you get to the next trade deadline after you've acquired Giannis. What's to stop Rob from being we got to see how we can do next summer when we have a little bit more flexibility, a few more assets, and we can build around Giannis and Luka. You know what I mean?
That is no longer a compelling argument to me. See, that's more like when you and I were criticizing them in the early years of the LeBron AD when they clearly still had it. And it's why are you doing nothing? These two guys are still, at worst, both top 10 players in the NBA. Yeah. And you are just deciding, no, I'm going to make them sit in the mess they made as a punishment instead of trying to win or whatever. You know, because I'm mad that they made me trade for Russell Westbrook. And I need to blame them so that I can get my golden parachute extension, a couple times and all that
stuff. Yeah.
I don't think that people would let that fly if it's a Giannis and Luka team. I think he would not be able to sell hey, Giannis and Luka got to prove to me that they're worth investing in. And so nobody's buying that.
Also, by the way, Giannis is not young. He's going to be 32. I could totally see a world where, we start getting leaks. Ugh, the Lakers are just kind of surprised that, the somewhat slight dip in athleticism that they've seen from Giannis, and it's a bigger lift to build a team around Giannis and Luka than it may have been 5 years ago. And it's just my larger point, even if we don't get into the specifics of a Luka and Giannis thing specifically, it's more, and ironically, we kind of already kind of broached this point with Silver. Once you let a front office off the hook by way of their explanation that they gave you back during the Anthony Davis and LeBron era, the tail end of it. Once a front office knows that they can just talk to local media, limit the number of local media who they actually talk to, and make sure that their appearances are only on state TV. Like, once they realize that they can sell to the fans, and the fans are a significant part of the fan base, will just accept, well, you know, maybe Giannis is kind of, you know, on the other side of 30. And, you know, Luka played a lot of minutes in Europe, and those are tougher minutes than guys playing college. Like, once we excuse away the kicking of the can, there's nothing that will actually stop this front office other than new ownership. Whenever they are allowed to fully step in and recalibrate the front office. But this front office, they've been allowed to kick the can for so long that it's just who they are, you know, like I think their self-preservation by way of kicking that can is the one common factor in their tenure here. And the more that we arrive at the other side of trade deadlines and on the other side of buyout markets and heading into postseasons, plural, where Luka in his prime will be entering a postseason with a roster that nobody actually believes in. Not even the Lakers believe in this runoff or this roster.
I don't know, Anthony. I think I've heard the Lakers think they're playoff killers. Okay, first unathletic, right, slow team to dominate the postseason.
Yeah. But you know, once we as a fan base and those of us with platforms, you know, allow them to exist off of their own excuses, and we're done. This is just who the front office becomes. And that's why, like, people always kind of get on me for, oh gosh, you're always so negative, you're always so this, you're always so that. It's just like, because I was raised at a time where we expected more of the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, like that era maybe completely a bygone era where there were more dumber teams that existed back then. But I don't know. I still think the Lakers should be held to a much higher standard. You know who else probably agrees?
LeBron.
LeBron, after the Lakers lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, was asked to compare the Lakers to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he was like, that's a championship team over there. We are not one. And then he had another post.
Can you imagine, as an aside, like if he had just done the Dave McMenamin, just like they're like, can you compare this Lakers roster to the Thunder? He's like, championship team?
Championship team, DeAndre Ayton.
Championship team, champion shit team over here.
He'd have been so proud of himself. He followed that up by putting this out on his social media, on his Instagram story. It's a quote from Jillian Turecki, who says, or said, behind every happy couple is the reality that a relationship isn't 50-50. Some days one person is struggling, whether it's stress, grief, or exhaustion, and the other has to step up and hold steady. Happy couples don't keep score.
I see you took that as a Lakers thing. I took that as like Savannah got mad at me for not doing the dishes this morning. And like, I just want to be like, hey, no, we don't keep score here.
No, I think he was like, Savannah, I want to go back to Cleveland. And she's like, abso-fucking-lutely not.
He says, like, sometimes people have to sacrifice, maybe fit in instead of fitting out.
Exactly. I would also say that, like, what Jillian kind of describes there is still 50-50, right?
Like, yeah. It's 50-50, but you're trusting that it's 50-50. You're not actually keeping the score to know that it's 50-50. Like, the scoreboard's turned off, but you're just right. Like, I think we're playing about even here.
So when you combine the, like, scoreboard aspect of that quote, right, in that post, and you combine that with, you know, the reports of pettiness from Jeannie Buss and the Rambi and Rob Pelinka and the Lakers at large towards Clutch and LeBron and all that stuff, this feels like kind of sort of admittance or admittal. he's admitting that that shit was true.
You got all that from an Instagram quote.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, it's funny. I took that completely differently. I thought that that was just him being like, damn, this is like real insight about like marriage is hard. He's like,
I don't think he posts like. About it. He would never post about his actual marriage. Absolutely not.
I don't know. He's like subtweeted his own teammates multiple times. Like, I don't
He doesn't care about his teammates. He cares about his wife.
You see, he can be passive aggressive sometimes. I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, I'm not ruling it out. Maybe he's not being passive aggressive to her. He's just like, hey, this is the bedrock of our relationship is that we don't keep score. And I want other couples out there to be as happy as me and Savannah are.
I don't think Savannah wants any part of their marriage out in the open at all. Like,
see, I did not take it as a Lakers thing at all. I like
really
when you put right, that chat, in there, I'm like, damn, LeBron. Think.
I thought it was 100%. I thought it was 100% a Lakers thing.
No, that I took it as like LeBron. Oh, damn, you know, LeBron really is like getting close to retirement. Like, he's just posting like couples memes, like an elderly millennial Facebook couple, you know.
So, wait, did you think like the fit out thing was like, you know, he didn't like how his outfit turned out that day or what?
No, I mean, that was clearly different, but
maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he would ever post about like his personal life on his, like to that extent, you know, where he's talking about like,
I mean, he's about like, the right age. The 40 is when you start posting memes that are like hashtag women be like on like your Facebook, you know, like that's. Like, hashtag right. Husband problems.
So like I talk obviously about my family a lot here, right? And I'm also very careful. Like when I talk about my family, you know, there are some moments where I open up a little bit. There are other moments where, you know, there are some aspects of my family and my relationship I'm going to keep very quiet. I think the audience here is kind of used to that dynamic. This would be completely out of left field. Like from like what LeBron has done as it pertains to his family. But all right.
Should I post? I'm sorry. As you were talking, I was just thinking, should I post this meme on my Twitter and see what Mia thinks it's about? Does she think it's about my work or?
That's what I'm saying. Like, unless Savannah is right there next to him as he's posting that. And he's like, Savannah,
should I just quote tweet this? Be like, damn, wise words. I'm doing it. I'll report back next week.
I hope Mia walks into your room right now that you're recording from and just slaps.
I think she's taking a nap right now, so she's gonna be mad later. But we'll see.
All right. Let's move on. We'll do the look back another day because people want to know about this Sohan thing.
And well, also I saw Raj had a question in the chat, our Lakers Lounge exclusive chat of what is mogging, and the answer is none of us know. Anthony and I are too old to know.